بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت رسول پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم had a system for doing everything, be it the sleeping, be it getting up, be it the toilet, be it the wuzu, the namaz, the timings. There was a system for everything. So there were two things that Islam had maintained. One is sequence, and the second is, apart from the system, sequence, it is done rightly and moderately. So if you look at the toilet, then the toilet also has got a sequence. How you will enter, what grounds you must look for relief in yourself. You can't just relieve yourself in any type of place. So it must be such a place where the splashes don't get into your body, your clothing. Then how you wash yourself, how you conceal yourself, how you get into the toilet, how you come out of the toilet. Then, if you're talking about wuzu, then there's a sequence for wuzu as well. You can't just say, no, I just wash myself. You know, type of water, how you will commence the wuzu, how you will end the wuzu. Someone can say, well, I washed myself, so I have done what I am supposed to be doing. But he showed you a sequence. One learned person, quite a bit muhakkik, so they heard about one buzurg, so they went up to him. Intention was to test him out. He knows he's pious, but he doesn't know about fiqh, he doesn't know about Islamic law, etc. He doesn't know. So let's test him out. So he says, you see, the faraz in wuzu is washing the face, the hands, masa, and feet. That's the faraz. But then why do you wash your hands first, to your wrist, gargle your mouth, then sniff the water and clean your nose? Why do you do this? Because the actual thing was to wash the faraz, to do the faraz. But now all these things are not faraz. So why are you doing this before? So the guru said, see, you wash your hands first, because the water that is supposed to be used will have to have three qualities. It mustn't have a color, mustn't change the natural color. So how are you going to make it out? When you're washing your hands, you're going to see if the color is right or not right. It's natural or it's discolored. Then number two is, its taste also mustn't change. So how are you going to make it, how are you going to make out that the taste hasn't changed? You're going to gargle your mouth so you understand that the taste hasn't changed. Then the third requirement was to see that it doesn't have a smell. So how are you going to see that it's lost its smell? So you sniff the water. Now you understand that it is ala sifatil ma'il munazzali min as-sama. Ma'an tahura. Now you understand that it is genuine water. Otherwise, if one of the features of water had changed, then it will not keep it at a level where you can use it for wuzu. But now, you have already tested it out. When you tested it out now, then after testing it out, then you start with your faraz. So the sequence that Islam has shown that you test it out and then you commence with the faraz. So this person is testing out this buzurg. He says, alright, hey, you know what? Just explain that again, I'm going to write it down. So sometimes you think that these pious people, they don't know what's going on. They know it. But just that they've branched on onto something else that is consuming their entire time. But they know what's going on. So there must be some reasoning in what you're doing, and there must be some sequence in what you are doing. There must be some order, some system. Then that thing looks nice, it looks right. If there's no system, there's no sequence, then there's no meaning to what you're doing. In the day of the English, there was a court case. So, one person was reported for murder. Now they are supposed to be hanging him. So his defense is asking, alright, you will accuse him for murder, where's the proof? Because for every claim, there must be a proof. Otherwise, tomorrow, I'll get up and say, this house belongs to me. And if the judgment is passed just on my claim, then can there be anything like owning property, owning a car? I go into the parking lot, I claim that this is mine, and the judge says, alright, take it. Would there be any system? No system. So if you make a claim, then it is supported. So the defense asked, what is the proof? You say that he is responsible, he is the murderer. What's the proof? So the judge says, the proof is this, that the dying person took his name. The dying person, as he was about to die, he said that this person killed me. And the proof is this, that the dying person doesn't speak a lie. So the dying person doesn't speak a lie, that supports the claim. Because why? The dying person always speaks the truth. So the defense counsel got up again. Alright. If it is that the dying person doesn't speak a lie, then this person is going to be dying just now. Ask him whether he was the murderer or not. See that? لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ. If there was no such thing like a system, what would happen? The whole system would have cracked. This Shia and Sunni problems carry on for ages, for generations. So there was a Sunni-Shia case, and the Shias, they have it in them that they must revile the Sahaba-i-Kiram, speak ill about them. So that leads into a controversy, that leads into a court case. Now this is a court case. At the court case now, the Shia is claiming that we call it taqiyya, tabarra, taqiyya they call it. When they run down and they criticize and they condemn the Sahaba Kiram, so they say tabarra. So the Shia council is speaking, that you see, the English government has given us religious freedom. And it is part of our religion to run down and condemn the Sahaba Kiram. So respect our freedom. See what he's saying? Now gave us freedom of religion, and it's part of our religion to run down and to criticize the Sahaba Kiram. So this is our religious right. It's our religious right given by you, so respect it. So the Sunni side, they stood up and they said, alright, our religion tells us that if any person criticizes and condemns the Sahaba Kiram, that we must kill him. So give us that religious right as well. So the whole case that we just tumbled, they threw it out. So there must be proper reasoning. You can't just give any type of reason, oh, I am right because I am so and so. You can't say that. That Sheikh Sabuni was here some 30 years ago, 25, 30 years ago. Remember? Yeah. So, he's explaining now that he's coming from an Arab country, right? So he says, these people are right. Why they are right? Because they are Arabs. So, because they are Arabs, then they got an indemnity. For what? For being right. They can't be wrong. So can the reasoning, can it sound right? He explains that the reasoning is offset, off. You can't say, I belong to this lineage. So because I belong to the lineage, therefore whatever I say is right. Support the claim. You made a claim or it supported. So in deen also, there is something like a reasoning, some support, some sequence. And when there is a sequence, there is reasoning, there is a support base, it goes right. But if there is no support base, there is no reasoning, right, then can it be right? Like I explained, wuzu, you can't wash all those limbs. Say, I wash the limbs, so why do you say that I did wrong? Then coming into, after wuzu, you come into azan. Then when you came into azan, I said the same words, but only missed out the sequence. I didn't say the takbir first, I said Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah first. I got everything in the announcement, I made every announcement. So why do you say that azan isn't right? Sequence. Then I'm going to read my namaz. I said, hey, you know what? I'll read all my namaz in advance. I'm going for a holiday. So 3 weeks namaz, all I'll shoot it one time. So 3 weeks, all my namaz, I'm done with my namaz. Now, will that be right? So the namaz has got a time. And you have to do it in that time. Inna salata kanat al-mu'minina kitabun mawquta. It's compulsory, and compulsory at the designated times. You can't change and alter the time. See that sequence. Everything in sequence, everything in order. Hazrat Ibrahim should explain that all the structures are shown to us to teach us some discipline, order, sequence. Person is going to sleep now, right? So there must be some discipline, there must be some sequence, there must be some order. So now, he knows exactly where everything is placed. Find the hadith, where the wuzu water is placed, where the musalla is placed, where the miswak is placed, where the towel is placed. So now if you're getting up in the dark, then you're not disturbing anybody. But now, if you've got no places for your things now, wuzu, water, the can that is used to make wuzu, the miswak, you know where the towel is, then aren't you going to be creating a disturbance? But everything has got a designated spot. So even you get up in the dark, you can do your things. He would emphasize this so much, he said that there must be so much of system in you that one thing is placed in a certain spot, you must be able to reach it even in the dark. Like you need a scissor, you need a comb, you need a miswak, you need a nail clipper, all these are things that you need, right? For your body hygiene, the soap you need. So even if you are walking in the dark, exactly you know, this is where the nail clipper is, this is where the shaver is, this is where the soap is, this is where the miswak is. Now, will there be any disturbance to anybody? But you got no designated spots for keeping your things. Now you're fighting with that one, where this thing is gone, who misplaced it, why? So, even in your personal self, you know exactly, this is my tasbih, this is where it stays, this is where the pen goes, this is where the key goes. I ask you, mentally, do you ever have any type of anxiety and worry mentally? But now you don't have any designated spots for your things. Now you're blaming that one, hey, he took my phone away. He did this, he misplaced my keys. Then a little bit of, check your, hey man, I forgot I left it there. Unnecessary, I shouted at the person. But problem where it came from you. You got no sequence, you got no style, no system. So there must be a system for everything. All these namaz and wuzu, all is telling you that they have designated spots for everything. But then the house, the child must be trained up in that way. Now you train the child when he's 20, he's rooted in all the wrongs, no system in him, and he's doing things wrong. Now at the age of 20, you're shouting at him, then it's the wrong of the child, but it's your wrong as well. Child is doing it wrong, should have thought about it. But it's your wrong as well, because you didn't teach him any sequence, any system, you didn't teach him. But had you taught him all the system, then he would have known. See how the Sharia show you that child is born, now call the azan. Right? By the 7th day, shave off the hair. Do the aqiqah. Give him a present name. Then when he's at the age of 7, instruct him to do namaz. But you see how the sequence. Then when he's about 10, 11, then you separate the sleeping places. Don't let the bodies be touching. Sleeping places are separated, right? Then you will not only instruct him to do the namaz, if he doesn't do the namaz, then you can discipline him as well. Right? Then when he's of age, then hold him by the hand and say, may Allah Ta'ala don't make you a fitna for me, a problem for me. Get him married, get him into a suitable home, right? Now when you don't follow the system here, then you're creating problems for yourself, creating problems for the child. The child knows that he's reached his adolescence, right? And he's got some biological needs, physical needs he's got. Now somehow or the other he's trying to get through his parents, but they're not listening. So now what must he do? What are his choices? They got money for everything else. Running for Umrah, they can do it. Trading in the car, they can do it. Buying new apparel for ease and all, they can do it. But what they can't afford is get the child to get married. But now, it is the child's responsibility also to see to it that he doesn't do haram. But it is the father's responsibility also to see that the child doesn't get into haram. But if they're not making it conducive for the child, so aren't they responsible? So see, there's a system. Now he's walking into his own house. So again, the Sharia has got some system. لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم. See how many systems, what are systems you got? System, sequence. So in the home, there'll be different quarters. One day it's a common place. Like a kitchen is a common place, a lounge is a common place. Generally you won't require permission to enter such a place because it's common. The old household go there, nobody goes and changes in the kitchen or changes in the lounge. He'll change if he needs to then in the bedroom, not in a lounge, not in the kitchen, right? So there you don't generally require permission, unless now there are guests and all that. Then if you want guests, you know your wife has got guests, then there's a formal approach. Then make your presence known, although it's your house. It's your house, nobody's sharing that house with you. Just your wife and your children. Even then, the right thing is then you make your presence known. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, getting into his own house, but he makes his presence known, they cough, so they get to know. So if your wife has got some of her friends, women have come to visit her, right? Obviously now the visiting, women are visiting, they'll have the scarves out, or some of the hands will be showing, some of the feet or something will be showing. And if it's barging, they'll be invading privacy. You'll see something, you'll get embarrassed, those women will get embarrassed, and the opinion about you will be very poor. This man has got no respect, no style. He just barges in into the privacy. They know it's your house, but now it's a system. It's your house, but you know that she's getting some guests, or occasionally she will get some guests. You can hear some talking. Now, from the outside, before you can enter, you made your presence known, you coughed, or you said something loudly. So they know now, alright, they need to take cover. But see all the systems. So you got one apartment that is common, right? In the common apartment, you don't need to take permission unless there is something, some type of a get-together. There's a bride, or there's a dawad, or there's a walima, or it's Eid day. So, and the second situation is where it's a private room. Like your, what we'll say, bedroom. So the bedroom, even little children, بَلَغَ الْأَطْفَالُ مِنْكُمْ الْحُلُمْ, right? Little children, they must be also trained not to get into the bedroom straight. They must be trained. Now, they get into the bedroom, right? It's your bedroom, you close the door, you didn't lock it up, but you didn't train the child, or the child just came into that bedroom. And you were undressing at that time. Right? You were doing something, right? There was a sore in your thigh, for example, so you were undressed, and you were trying to clean that, right? But now that child just walked in like that. Now, isn't that embarrassing for you? Isn't that wrong for the child? Isn't that embarrassing for you? So the child, even if he's not mature, even if he's small, right? Even if he's small, then he must be trained that when he's walking into that bedroom, he must ask permission. He must ask permission and then get it. Because he can be in awkward position, right? His mother can be there, she can be undressing. You can be there, you can be undressing, right? And now they just barge into your privacy. It's embarrassing for both people. Now the child is disciplined, he's corrected, he's shown that this is the sequence of entering a room. So isn't that a respectable home? See, I showed you about your own positions and what dignity requires. If you know, got designated spots for every small thing, big thing. So there's no confusion, there's no complication, there's no troubled mind. Said, I left it here, who took it? You left it that place there. And you forgot about that thing. But you are designated spots, there's nothing to worry about. See, Rasulullah, look at his life. He knows, even he gets up in the dark, he knows where the water is placed, where the miswak is placed, where the musalla is. So you're getting up, there's no trouble for anybody. Now, so much of emphasis, he's past the age of 80, just 1-2 years before he passed away. So now and then you will get a spell of dizziness. So in India it's quite different to us then. Until the time we were there also quite different. Now it's all improved, right? So in that time in India, there wasn't water in the toilet. So if you needed to make istinja, you would take the water from the outside, get into the toilet and make the istinja. So the jug, whatever is used to make istinja, is kept outside. You fill the water and then you go to the toilet. So he filled the water, he went to the toilet, relieved himself. And as he came out, he had a spell of dizziness. And he just fell there. When he fell down, he got up after some time. So he made himself to the bed with a little bit of difficulty. But as he got to the bed, he understood that I had a spell of dizziness and I fell down and the jug was in that spot. It's possible that some of the household, they may get up, they may go for istinja, but they don't have the water. They don't have the jug. So they'll be looking out for the jug. So with all that pain, that difficulty and all that, he went for the jug, replaced it in its place, then came back to the bed. So you see this sequence, order, it makes that homely environment so enjoyable, so comfortable. But unfortunately, we don't consider this to be Islam. This is not a namaz, make of namaz, because Quran says, that's more important, both namaz, zikr is most important. But that doesn't mean these things are not important. Now, you trimmed your moustache, you cut your beard, you trim your nails, right? So the child must be taught that these things mustn't be placed here after you trim it, after you've clipped your nails, then it must be buried. This is the place where you bury the thing. Make him feel responsible. So now you don't make the person feel responsible and then suddenly you just come down onto him like a load of bricks thrown. Teach him, every step teach him, this is how you do it. One youngster is complaining, I feel very embarrassed when people correct me. I feel embarrassed, young person, feel embarrassed when people correct me. I said, see, Imam Shafi Ramadan says that when you are in a controlled environment and someone corrects you, it's easy because it's just a few people that know about it. But if that correction is not given to you, then you will remain in disgrace for the rest of your life. So now, you are going to commit the wrong, the same wrong, in the presence of hundreds of people. Right? Hundreds of people are going to get to know, this person, this is his weakness, that is his weakness. Right? Nobody has got the guts and the courage to go and correct him. But now, won't it be an embarrassment for the rest of his life? See now, I'm showing you in the house. So now, the child also is taught that you ask permission before you enter the private room. Private quarter, then you ask for permission. Don't just get in. Child must be taught. You can teach him everything else. And can't we teach him this much? You can teach him A, B, C. Can't we? You can teach him walk on the right side of the road, walk on the pavement. You can teach him, alright, when you're crossing the road, look right, look left, all that, right? You can do all that. But now all these things here that he needs to know, are we teaching him? But you see how the Sharia is teaching you. Then you teach the child, if he's eaten something that's got a bad stench, bad odor, then how he must clean himself, eat something very strong, some achar or some onions, whatever he ate, right? Now some of our spicy foods require onions. Now you eat all that onions and you're coming for namaz. Now the child must be taught. You know, you're shouting at the child, he doesn't know nobody brought it to his attention. Teach the child. As he's growing up, teach him small things, one other, this is two, this is other. Right? You're coming into the masjid, and don't just leave your shoes anywhere. Leave it in the rack, leave it at a designated spot. Right? I was going to Randall's Road, so I left my shoes. I saw my one shoe, it's just like my shoe. So I kept it on the other end. So nobody. Then someone took my shoe away. But I don't know what magic happened after that I found my shoe here. How it happened, Allah knows. Because I saw that shoe was polished. What they kept for me was polished, but not my shoe. I don't polish the shoes. Rather polish the heart than polishing the shoes. That Allah will see. The heart Allah will see. Who's going to see? It's meant to be dirty, it's alright. Now and then someone polishes, but. But what is important, obviously, قَدَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. That has to be polished all the time. You know, it's not polished, sometimes polished, alright. If the clothes is a little bit old or untidy, it's alright. But the heart's tidiness, that must be immaculate at any given time. قَدَفْلَهَا مَنْ تَزَكَّاهَا قَدَفْلَهَا مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Here, the style now is in the house, everything, mehman comes, what will they say? What will they say about my appearance? What a spot here, soap is not right. We don't say don't clean that. But all the fikr and the concern is just about how you appear. Is it right? The greater concern is how the heart appears, because that's the focal point of Allah Ta'ala. Qadaflaha man tazakka. So we're teaching now sequence and order. One person came to the house, so he didn't know much about Islam. So he's not even married. So I asked him to become at his level. He's not married, not marrying also. So over 25. So I just asked him in passing by, you're married or not married? So I asked him thereafter, is it going to be cheaper to get married or to remain not married? He thought about 20 seconds, no. I think it'll be far cheaper for me to get married. Why? See, no sequence. But there's no sequence, then what happens? He says, now, because I'm not married, now I have to date with this one, year, I have to date with that one. And for every date now, it's a costly affair to go to Kentucky's, buy shoes, buy an apparel, give a gift, and all that I have to, all that lavazimat, all will come out to my head. But now, if I'm married, I know that the money and the energy is going in one direction. She doesn't have to dwell herself every time like a bride. But you're dating, you have to dwell yourself all the time as a groom, and she has to dwell herself all the time. And if she dwells herself, she needs that money. Where the money is going to come from? See the sequence of studying that he's showing. And then it's an additional benefit when you're married now, then you know there's a bond. You're giving an opportunity for someone to live after you, right? But no marriage, no responsibility. No responsibility, you feel that your responsibility, but you have to work harder. So now, we're talking of the house now, how to work in the house. The child is coming in, and he's making salam. If it's not his house, he's making salam. And then, after he's made salam, he identifies himself properly, completely, correctly. He doesn't say, I am here. Who's there? I am here. Ana, what is ana? Who is that? We don't know. You identify yourself correctly. Yeah. If it is a name that your children know you by, then you give that name. Say, Abba is here, right? But they must identify who is the person. Say, I am here. You know, I knock at the door, you didn't open up. But you didn't identify yourself. We're wondering who was the person standing at the door. But you identified yourself, it was easy for us to get to the door, open the door for you. But you don't want to identify yourself. Now you teach the child, he must identify himself. You see this adab. Adab, etiquette, brings about the value of the person. He knows exactly how to talk. Right? So now, he asks for permission. Then, when permission is given to him, then he made salam. Right? Now he entered. Right? Now then the etiquette is this, that he's going into a home, right? So, if it's a stranger's home, then the etiquette will be different. But if it is his own home, the etiquette is different. If it is his own home, then the child, and he's got his elders, right? The child, he got his parents. Right. So, if he wants to go somewhere, then he tells his father, his parents, Abba, I need to go here. Have I got your permission? Right. So you tell him what you're going for, where you're going for, and the approximate time for return. So I ask you, will there be any anxiety in the parents' mind? You get a case here, people come and complain, right? I got the child married, and you know, at about 1 o'clock, his in-laws are phoning, where's the man? In-laws. Then about 1:30, his phone comes, don't worry, I'm here, I'll come in about 30 minutes time. But now, it's a new girl getting into a marriage, 18 years of age, she's just gone here, she's all alone, from Maghrib, she's waiting for the husband. Right, from Maghrib right till 1:30. Now I ask you, is it fair to the girl? But that is an indicative that the parents didn't train the child. But if they train the child knows, alright, I'm going, so I must let them know that I'm going. And my expected time for return, I need to tell them as well. But now he doesn't go because the parents didn't teach him. When they didn't teach this, now the child just went, he left. So the girl that they got married, now you think to yourself, it's your daughter. I ask you, can't it build up into a mental problem? She's living in pain, in fear, in panic. What's going to happen? She's an insecurity. What happens to the child? But if that parent had to only discipline and correct the child, see, I'm going. This is the time I'll be leaving. This is the time I'll be returning. But don't get worried. Or this is the work I'm going for. But the child must be so well disciplined, if that Abba says, the father says, alright, you ask me to go, I ask you not to go today. There mustn't be a frown on the face, you may just remain there. Now that's called well disciplined. Right? So if the child got sequence, he's got order, he's got system, he's got reasoning in his life, won't it be a blessing for this? But there's no system, no order, no sequence, no reasoning. He's not a blessing, he's a curse now. Now the in-laws are saying, hey, but what do we do with this child here? What do we do? We can't separate them now. What will people say now? Our daughter is divorced. But we can't manage to keep her like this. That she's living all the time, virtually she's living in anxiety. It'll develop into a mental problem now. But now who was the cause? When you're leaving and you're asking for permission, I need to go to this place here, I need to go for this type of work, and I'll come back at this time. Now, after the person has come back, then he gives a small report to his parents, I went here, we did this work here, and now everything is over. So, isn't that a relief? The parents or any other person will say, MashaAllah, this child, see what beautiful values he's got. He's got values, our child is at ease. We don't have too much of money, but what we are very happy with is this child has got a sense of responsibility. He goes somewhere, he takes permission. He comes back, he informs us, and he gives a small report of what happened. So don't you feel at ease, don't you feel relaxed. But then that's how you train the child. You train the child. Then the child is trained also, that if a duty is given to him, then he comes and informs you after that, that this duty, or I was assigned to do this duty, alhamdulillah, it's accomplished. But now, he told you, now in the old days you're posting a letter, right? Now you ask him to post a letter. He posted the letter, but doesn't come and tell you. Now how your mind is, hey, the letter posted or not, what Panapuri Sapram is saying, that I wrote a letter, it was supposed to be posted going to Australia. I met the person after about a month, right? Asked him, is the letter posted? Hey, I got in my pocket still. I wanted the Jamaat to extend its time. Now, according to the first plan, that means they have boarded the plane now. But I see the problem that you bring about. There's no system, no order, no sequence. What happens? He's supposed to post the letter at the same time and come and inform that this work was assigned to me, alhamdulillah, I've done it, the letter is posted. Class. But what a small adjustment, and do it. And if the memory is weak, you've got too many things on your head, then write it down. Wife gave you a grocery list, right? You don't want to hear bayar afterwards, right? Hey, but Tabe pyaaz di lawa, man. You didn't bring the onions. What a rubbish thing you are. You don't listen to this. So you make a note of it, and you see that everything is brought. So there's no problem after that. Because you don't know, alright, I may just forget about it. One thing, two things, I may just forget about it. So you make a proper list. So the person has got a system in him. You know, what a comfort, what an ease it is for the rest of the crew. So he comes back, he tells his parents, I've come back, I've done this. So now, when that child has been trained like this, now he's in a marital home, he's already in a discipline, in a routine to do things with a system. So he won't go against the system. He won't break the system. Now there's a death, right? So again, in a death also there is a system. What do you do? The person is passing you, what do you do? So if the child is trained, he knows, alright, the person is dying, so what we do, we prompt him to read the kalam, alright? Then if his eyes are open, we close his eyes. His mouth is open, try and close the mouth, right? Try and face him towards the qibla, right? Prompt him to recite the kalam, right? Then the necessary things, what is supposed to be done, is done, alright? Now, how are we going to arrange the ghusl? How are we going to arrange the kafan? And how are we going to arrange the burial? All that is done. Immediately, I think so far, there's only about 3 or 4 cases I got. The man passed away, and about the next day, the whole estate is mine. So there is no unfair play in the marriage. Now, in the marriage, now I got a liking for him. And I got a liking for him, so I gave him, now you take this property. And other children, I just left them out. I say, is that right? Is there any sequence there? Is there any reason to do this? Yes, if there's a valid Shari reason in the lifetime you want to give away a gift, you did it when you were alive in a good state of health and there was a valid reason to prefer one over the other, then you did it, it's alright. But if there was no valid reason to prefer one over the other, then like you need that child's love, you need this child's love as well. You need this child's attention and love. You need that child's love and attention as well. So now, you didn't give him that attention. Now you are aged and old, getting frail, and you think my children are deserting me, might be dumping me, but were you unfair towards them or not? So when you were unfair towards them, now this is the return. But you fair towards them, say, no, my father was fair to all of us pull together and take good care of him. But you see the steady sequence. Man is getting frail and weak now, he needs some support, but the children are too busy making money. When they're too busy making money now, say, who must look after this old man now? In Jobo they say topi, the other say carrot, right? So, who's going to look after this old man? He's making money, man. So now he doesn't have a moral support, no support from his children, nothing they got, no support they got. So the father is thinking, hey, I need to make a plan, because this whole family revolves around money. See, now today, learned, not learned, pious, not pious, everything revolves around money. Paisa peng, tamasha dek. Everything revolves around money. You don't have the money, don't talk. Got the money, you can talk. Our minds are corroded. There's a word worse than corroded, I would say that. Now, father is saying, what must I do? So, after some time, his one son came, some work, whatever, left something at home, he came to the house. So, in passing, he's telling his son, he thought about it very well, you know, I got some treasure in this house, deeply buried somewhere down, you know. And since you're visiting me now, and I'm thinking what to do with this wealth. He's not giving his word. He says, since you're visiting me, I'm thinking, when he heard about so much of treasure buried somewhere inside the kitchen, it's buried deep down, right? So he's already making his plan now. Okay, what do I do about it? Because the old man is saying he's got some deep treasures right buried inside here, and most of it is only pure gold. Right? It's pure gold, Krugerrands all filled up. So now this child now says, hey, Abba, I must make your khidmat. Man. I must make your khidmat, you know. So you don't need to go play with others, go and do your business. Mom and Abba, I must stay here. You're my father. Why can't I do your khidmat? But you see, the whole thing revolves around money. So the, you are secondary. The primary thing that runs your life is wealth. You are just an entity. What runs the life is the wealth. If you got the wealth, then you can shout your child. And if it is your child got the wealth, then he can shout you. Unfortunately, this is how we're running the life. Right? You got the wealth, then you can shout the child. And the child got the wealth, then he can shout you. Anyway, father died. He went to dig inside the kitchen, find nothing. Eventually he realized the father had to make a plan to get someone to attend to him. So he had to make a money story. But you see now how our values have changed. But the sequence, the tartib, system, that's running out of the life. If only the Shari system has been maintained, the sequence, there can be so much of beauty, so much of goodness. The Shari is saying, right, we need to spend, but spend moderately. Ma'ala manik tasal. Ma'ala manik tasal. When a person is living moderately, it's nothing, he doesn't have to fear poverty. Right? Now, when you're living beyond your means, or you're living an extravagant life, although it's within your means, and living an extravagant life, then it's difficult to maintain moderation, and difficult then to also see to the Shari'i obligations. Now how? See, Mujahid is a student of Ibn Abbas, right? So he says, the sequence for spending is first your immediate relative. Your son is your immediate relative. That's your immediate, closest. So you spend on him. And then you spend on charitable avenues. But now, you left out your son and you spend on someone else. Right? He says that what you spend on that person, although it was a dini cause, that is rejected. Because you didn't maintain the sequence. يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا يُنْفِقُونَ قُلْ مَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ وَلِلْوَالِدَيْنِ وَالْأَقْرَبِينَ وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ Quran is showing a sequence, how you spend your wealth. You can't say that it's my wealth, I can do what I want, but it's not your wealth, Allah gave it to you. Where you came from, that it's my wealth. وَفِي أَمْوَالِمْ فَقُّلْ لِسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُونَ You see, that in your wealth, there is a right of the poor. The needy has got a right. That means you are just the manager of the wealth. That wealth actually belongs to the poor. If you look into this verse, حَقُّ لِسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ The poor has got a right in your wealth. So you are just the manager. You're supposed to be discharging that wealth to the poor. So no, but my lifestyle, I need to spend like this type of holiday, that type of finish, that type of furniture. And then you left out the rights of these people here. Then, what the Mujahid is saying, then that work that you're doing is all rejected. No sawab for it. So you have to maintain that sequence. Small things, but Shari is saying sequence. Sequence that has to be maintained. I remember when my father was paralyzed, right, for the few days, he couldn't wash his feet. He could reach, could walk a little bit, but he couldn't reach his feet. So someone had to help him to wash his feet. Someone was helping him. And they did the khilal the wrong way. Point of the khilal in this way. See, there's a sequence. And the sequence, that maintaining the sunnah sequence, right, is so rewarding, it's so rewarding. And one is to build a madrasa, the words of Hazrat Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullahi. One is to maintain the sunnah, and one is to build a madrasa. The reward for maintaining and practicing a sunnah is greater than putting up a madrasa. Although our madrasa wale, we are the madrasa, right? From another perspective, the madrasa may be more important. Why? Because it's a point, it's a center through which all sunnah will be revived. From that perspective. But the sunnah in itself, compete against building a madrasa, that sunnat is greater. But you see, that sunnat requires sequence, order, reasoning. It needs that. If the reasoning is not there, then you're off. Then you need to understand, learn it, correct yourself. It's such an important thing. In the Bani Israel, there's a person, Juraj, right? Look at sequence, order, system, reasoning. So he's got his monastery and his full time, he's in Ibadat. His mother is calling him. He says, Ya Rabbi, Ummi wa Salati. What must I do now? I got a mother's side here and my namaz. I'm so involved in this now. How can I go and attend to this? So he just ignored his mother and carried on. So his mother cursed him, La tumithu hatta turiyahu wujuhal masis. Allah Ta'ala, let him not die until unless he sees the face of a prostitute. Now, someone tried to trick this Juraj, he sent one prostitute. So he ignored her. Anyway, now, that woman, she delivered. When they asked her, whose child is this, she pointed towards Juraj. When she pointed towards Juraj, so they came down on Juraj, and they broke his whole monastery, broke it down. Why break down? He said, no, you did this thing here to this woman here. So he read two rakat namaz and he begged Allah Ta'ala, Allah, show them who is the culprit. So Allah Ta'ala answered his dua, the child spoke. The child said, no, that shepherd there, this is the person that did this to me. So they wanted to build the whole thing, rebuild the whole thing in gold, you know, just build it as it was. But here the point that is to be taken was that at that time it was compulsory for him to listen to his mother, break his namaz and listen to his mother. But now because he didn't have the understanding of sequence, reasoning, style, etc., didn't have that. So he didn't maintain that. But because he didn't maintain that, for those moments he had to go through that disgrace. See that sequence, order, reasoning, understanding. During your Jummah namaz, and you're just coming towards the end of the second rakat, right? The namaz is about ending. And just then you hear some blind man, and he's just within seconds jumping into a well. Now the compulsory obligation is break your Jummah namaz and go and help that person out. See, now even, hey, my Jummah namaz, man. Once in a week I get a time to read Jummah namaz, you know. Just once a week. I must let it go for this thing here. Someone else can do it. You're doing a wrong thing. It's haram for you to do it. Now it's compulsory for you to go and see to them. See the sequence. What is Jummah? One of the greatest things in Islam is jihad, right? Man wants to go out in jihad. And he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permission. Are your parents alive? Yes, they're alive. فَفِيهِمَا فَجَاهِدْ They need your attention, go and work with them, go and do the service. Be at the service. When they require, one is they don't require your service. They got 20 shops, but they want you to go and serve the shop there. That's not their service. Yeah, they require to be serviced. For their well-being, they need to be serviced. So you look at them. People say, He has got no respect for his parents. Not listening to them. Yeah, the parents are not concerned about themselves, they're worried about their business. So they're asking the child, why? Not because of their service, because of... Look at this case, every week you get that problem. They don't want the child to get married, why? Because you haven't yet graduated, or the girl that you're proposing for, she's got just 1 year left to graduate for her medicine. Once she's graduated, then you must get married to her. Because you know now, when you're going to get married to this girl here, it'll be a gold mine, you see. So just postpone the nikah until you get the gold mine right, working, and then get the nikah done. Now, if the child is going to follow that sequence of the parents, then from that point till they get married, if the child gets into haram, then the parents also going to get an equal guna. Because the child explained to his parents, I want to get into nikah, I want to avoid all this haram. But you want to postpone it just because of his material security, is it right? His respect is gone, his reputation is gone, just because of your material status. But you see this sequence. In everything, the sequence of the Sharia has to be maintained, has to be respected. To the extent you're cutting, you're clipping your nails, how are you doing it? Applying the surma, how are you doing it? You're brushing your teeth, how are you doing it? You're brushing your gums. How are you doing it? Right? How are you moistening your miswak? All that. What should be the size of the miswak? How thick supposed to be the miswak? Right? And when you're supposed to be doing it? At the time of wuzu or the time of namaz? When you're supposed to be doing it? So all these things the Sharia has explained. And for all this is given a sequence. Do it like this. Do it in this. But the people in the old, they had that, had in mind, man is going to visit his friend that is ill. Right? Just then the man passed away. So immediately he put off the lamp. He bought a lamp, lit it. He says, why are you doing this? He said, no. As long as he was alive, this was part of his wealth. Now that he is no more, then it's not his wealth, it is the wealth of the estate. The estate may have minors, they may have women,